thank you for singing and dancing so well. That was awesome. I was thinking I was 50-50 that I might try to do it with him, but I didn't stretch. So it's the last thing I wanted was to pull a hammy. Gotta be smart. Are you excited about your relationship with Jesus? Come on, church. I hope you are excited about your relationship with Jesus. Kids, are you excited about your relationship with Jesus? Sawyer's rubbing his eyes. Not my Sawyer, that Sawyer. He's thinking about it. He doesn't know. Well, we had a week of celebration every day here at Bethel Church. Just awesome things happening with our kids and with day camp. We had 134 kids who were super excited about their relationship with God. All week, our theme was start the party. Like, come on, church. Our world is not going to celebrate. They have nothing to celebrate for, but do we as a church have something to celebrate? Yes, and we need to be those people that are starting the party in our community, starting the party in our own families, at work. These kids did that, and it was really actually quite inspiring. They raised over $1,300 for Feed One, which for $10 feeds a child for an entire month, which was awesome. Now, it slightly probably had to do that it was a competition between the boys and the girls, and whoever got the most for that day got to run around the room to We Are the Champions by Queen, and you'd be surprised how motivational that actually is. It's pretty good, but I could talk all day really about the exciting things that God did and the stories of leaders stepping up and doing a great job, but I thought, what better than to just give you a recap of all 4 days? So would you look at the screens? Here's a little picture of what we were doing this week. Party people, where you at? It's time to celebrate. It's time to get it started. The party's happening here. That's right. I turn up the music loud. We got a reason to cheer. Let's go. Cause Jesus, your love is for everyone. We're gonna shine your light today. So come on, clap your hands. Everybody dance. The party is popping. Nobody's stopping. We're gonna do it right and have a good time. All for you, Jesus. Cause you're always with us. It's time to start the party. Well, it was an awesome week. If you volunteered in day camp, could you just stand up? Come on, stand up. Let us know you volunteered. We had lots of youth involved too. Thank you. Thank you. It was really an awesome week. You put a lot of effort. Well, not you, because most of you didn't stand up. Others put a lot of effort. No, but it says, I put a lot of effort into these programs, and we spent a lot of time. We purchased this curriculum in January, and we started thinking about, dreaming about, how can we make this week special? Special for kids, special for leaders, special for families. And it's powerful when God shows up and takes the effort that you've brought and uses it to impact families. And it was just an awesome time. So you would be very proud, church. You'd be very proud of your staff and the people who put on this event, all of our volunteers and kids, and very proud of the kids because of really just their openness to joy. Now, I asked at the beginning, are you excited about your walk with Jesus? I saw a lot of nods. I saw a couple of people say yes, which was good because I didn't know how that would go, to be honest with you guys. I hope you're excited. I hope you're excited about your walk with Jesus, that each day is a new day for the Lord to do something in your life. Today I want to talk to you about joy. Now, joy is maybe not the topic that we hear preached on the most. But I have to say, it's a pretty big one when it comes to the Bible. It is mentioned in the Bible, joy, rejoice, joyful, over 240 times. The idea of celebration and joy are so interconnected to the Christian walk. And I want to discuss that a little bit today with you. But first, I wanted to reshare a testimony with you. Now, earlier this year, I think I was able to share my testimony. I want to share it again because it so clearly looks at this thought of joy. I became a Christian because my girlfriend invited me to church when I was in middle school. Amen? Come on. All your people, you better hope your kids are dating non-Christians. Because how else are they going to come to know the Lord? Actually, my daughter and sons are getting older, so that kind of freaks me out. But it worked for me. My girlfriend invited me to come to church, and I got saved. I got to pray at Albany First Assembly, which is now Hope Church, in a closet with Aaron McKee, who preached the gospel, answered all my crazy questions. And when I ran out of questions, it was like, well, yeah, let's do this. That was it for me. At that moment, when I gave my life to Jesus, there was just an unbelievable burden that was lifted from my shoulders, from my soul. That I knew there was a God who loved me, no matter what. However, that did not, believe it or not, radically change my life. I felt so much better day to day, but my lifestyle didn't change a whole lot. It was at a moment in 1999, on December 31st, known as Y2K. There was lots of conversation about the end of the world. And even though I thought, me and Jesus are pretty tight, I gave him my life kind of in that closet. I better go to this thing in case things go down crazy tonight. And at this event, which I was totally unprepared for, it was 3 hours. Credit Pastor Troy, my youth pastor. 3 hours from 9 p.m., to midnight of worship and praise and teaching. No games, no pizza. What is going on? we're literally going to sing this song again? Watching this. But as I was there, I was looking at my peers, these kids. And I could just see the joy on their face. Tears running from their eyes as they're reaching out to the Lord and praising him in worship. And I said, God, I don't have that relationship with you. I love you, but I don't experience joy like that when I think about everything you've done for me. It was like getting saved was just a layer to which needed to be peeled back so that God's love could penetrate to the core of who I was. And at that time, it was very scary, as you can imagine. A ninth grader might have all the angst in the world, but I lifted my hands, even though I didn't know why, but I saw other people doing it, and I opened and honestly prayed and worshiped the Lord. That night changed my life. Now, I was saved already, but it was the moment that joy came into my worship that radically changed my pursuit of Jesus, that radically changed my walk to him. It was no longer me kind of following from a distance saying, yes, I like your ideas, Jesus. I'm going to catch up with you someday. It was like, Jesus, I want to learn from you right now. I want to follow where you go. We talk about joy. It's a discipline that you need in your life. You need more joy. Your family needs more joy. Your work environment needs more joy. Amen. I'm not saying that for my work environment. But sure, we could all use more joy. Your church needs more joy. Our community needs more joy. Our world needs Christians who are full of life, who are full of joy. Christians who know how to party, who know how to celebrate. In just a minute, I want to go into why I think joy is so important and some of the awesome things that God describes in the Bible. But guys, we are to be a light on this hill. We are to shine for our community. One of the ways we do that best is by living life full of joy. Living life full, full, complete life. Now, I have a couple of kids I want to invite up, and I sadly think only one of them was able to make it today. But Caleb Motzler, Aiden Geigel, and Chase Toma, if you are here, come on up. I didn't warn Caleb I was going to do this, but he's always into it. Little did you know, this innocent little kid was secretly practicing his skills in Royal Rangers for the last 5 years. Well, longer than that if you count going to the earlier ages. Caleb has finally got his Golden Eagle Award. Would you give him a round of applause? Caleb, what is one of the things you enjoyed most about Royal Rangers?
I don't know.
You don't know because it was all so good?
Yes.
Or it all was, okay, perfect. We're not even doing the other option. Awesome. If you could give some advice, what would you say would be one of the things that you learned in Royal Rangers?
Ship at least give me a warning. I really don't have...
Give it up for Caleb. Now, he's especially surprised because I already presented him his award. But Caleb, full of joy, full of life. Round of applause. Go have a seat, Caleb. Thank you. And I do have to say, I know that Aiden, in particular, really did want to be here today. So could we just give him a huge round of applause and say, yes, Aiden, 100%. Super appreciate all the work you did. And again, for Chase Toma, we didn't think he was going to make it, but he made it. Give him a round of applause also. Chase, doing good stuff. All right. So why is joy important? The joy of the Lord is your strength, right? Nehemiah 8:10. Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some of those to people who have nothing prepared. This is the day, a holy day to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. Joy is also a fruit of the Spirit, lest you forget. Galatians 5:22 and 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. No less than 7 annual feasts each year did God say we need to do in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, 7 times we're going to gather everybody together and we are going to start the party to celebrate what God is doing, to celebrate what he has done. Our Christian walk without joy, I mean, if you're going to truly pursue Jesus without joy, is a breeding ground for Pharisees. Now, that might be a little Christianese for you, but the Pharisees were a group of people in Jesus' time who followed God as best they could without joy at all, apparently. And they loved rules. We find, not that rules are bad, but especially for those with no joy, rules can become the foundation of their faith instead of the Spirit of God working in them. Proverbs 17:22 says this, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Now, I think we've all had a neighbor that fit that description. Maybe a few. But the Apostle Paul, the Pharisee, like a Pharisee of Pharisees, says this once he came to know the joy of following Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. It's Philippians 4:4. Jesus himself in John 15 and 16 says this, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be made full or complete. In chapter 16, he says, so with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. 240 times plus, I could go over all these verses that describe the importance of joy and rejoicing in the Lord. It is foundational to a life filled with the Spirit. It's foundational to our pursuit of Jesus. Christians should be full of life. Christians should be the most fun. The people who celebrate most often because we actually have something to celebrate. Now, I'm not saying I agree with what someone accused Jesus of, but no less than twice, Jesus was accused of being a drunkard and a glutton. Again, I'm not saying I agree with the accusation, but the fact was, Jesus liked to celebrate with people, and Jesus knew the importance of sharing a meal. Jesus got together with others and celebrated life, celebrated what God was doing. You need more joy in your life. Now that's obviously a blanket statement. Some of you may have just the right amount of joy. But for most of us, I'm going to assume, and I'm especially talking to myself, as I've had a summer of just tons of work, I need more joy in my life. I need to experience God's blessings more. A book that I have read and has impacted my life, maybe more than any other book besides the Bible, is Richard Foster's book, The Celebration of Discipline. In this book, get it. If you've not read it, get it. It's a great read. It goes over disciplines of the faith, prayer, fasting, worship, silence, solitude. All of these things that for thousands of years people have been doing as they pursued their relationship with Jesus, as they pursued their relationship with God. All of these disciplines. The last discipline in his book is celebration. It's a real thing, and it matters, okay? I thought some of you might not like fully agree with me, so I've kind of like tried to say, well, this is what the Bible says. To you, let me explain it in one more way, okay? And then we'll get on to how we have joy in a world that is often so disappointing, painful, and at times miserable. Jesus explains the kingdom of God like this. He says, the kingdom of God is like this. A man owned 100 sheep. One of them went away. He leaves the 99. Finds the lost sheep and brings him back. And what does he do? He calls everybody he knows and has a party. He goes on. This is Luke 15. These three parables Jesus say that give us an insight into God's heart. The kingdom of God is like this. A woman had a very expensive coin and she lost it. So she cleaned everything in her house. She looked everywhere for the coin, and when she finds it, do you know what she did? She called everyone she knew, and she threw a party. And then, of course, maybe the most famous parable Jesus told, the parable of the prodigal son. There was a man with two sons. One of them asked for his inheritance early. The man granted the son his wish and gave his inheritance to his sons. Then the one son goes away and wastes all his money, all the money he had gotten from his father. With nothing to eat, completely poor, he decides to return home and become a servant. In his mind, he's practiced this speech 1,000 times as he's journeying back home. His father sees him a long way off, runs to him, embraces him. And do you know what he did, church? He threw a party, a big party, with everyone invited. Celebration is important. Having joy in your life is foundational to walking step in step with Jesus. And it is a piece of God's heart that we cannot forget in our pursuit of God. It's important. So, how do you have joy in a world that is often disappointing, painful, and miserable? I mean, you tell me. I don't know. No. I do have some thoughts. But I'll say this. It's hard. It's hard. One of the primary ways, though, we can find joy, and this is going to be a womp womp for some of you, obedience. Womp, womp. Yeah. Obedience, as we follow closer and closer to Jesus, will bring you joy. I can say, I received the Lord, and I got a little track that Pastor Aaron McKee gave me that night in junior high when I received the Lord. And I prayed the sinner's prayer every night just to be safe. I prayed through that track, and it was what I had, and then eventually someone gave me a New Testament, and I was like, oh my goodness, and I was just reading all of it and super excited, but I was not obeying anything that God wanted for my life. I didn't know, to be honest with you. I just didn't know what the Bible said. I didn't know how to live a life following Jesus. But what I was trying to convey earlier, on January 1st of 2000, my life radically changed. And I was trying to walk in step with Jesus in every way that I could. I was excited for the first time about my faith. It wasn't just something that I had done or this check that I had off a list. It was now all I wanted in life was to be in step with what Jesus was doing and to walk with him as close as I could. That's obedience. We see this with the prodigal son, right? He had everything he ever wanted, all the money. He goes and wastes it. I guarantee, though, when he returned home and had that party with his dad, that was the best party that he had ever had, right? It was when he came back to obedience, when he came back to doing what his father said. And the parable does go on. There's the other brother, right, who has everything. His father says, everything I have is yours, but he's miserable. Why is he miserable? Because the father told him to come to the party and he's not. He's not willing to do that because he thinks his brother should be punished. He was not in obedience with God. Obedience is that important. God created you exactly the way you are on purpose, which is something to digest. Because I know there are so many things that you may think, why on earth am I this way? Why did you make me like this, God? God created you exactly the way you are for a reason. And when we fall in step with him, joy is a natural byproduct of obedience to God. I say this multiple times in kids' church. We teach this a lot in our Royal Rangers program. God's way is the best way. Even when it seems hard, even when it will cost you something, even when all other options make more logical sense, God's way is the best way. One of the ways that you can have joy in a world that seems so painful and disappointing, another way is this. Keep the end in mind. Life can be painful, but when you believe that God has good things in store for you, when you believe that he's on your side and can make a difference in your life, that's a powerful foundational truth to put at the bottom of your soul. To say, I'm going to be okay because I'm in God's hands. And even if my circumstances don't seem great and the people around me would say, shh, you should just curse God and die. Jeez, look at you. You can know. God has you. We sang some beautiful songs today and just thinking through those lyrics as we were singing, you are a child of God. And he loves you. I honestly ask the question, how does this song go? Because I'm not sure I've ever heard it. But trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. When we trust the Lord, there can be joy in almost any circumstance. This summer, going on the missions trip with Bethel, there were lots of opportunities out of my comfort zone. Lots of opportunities for me to freak out because their plan was different than what I had envisioned or things changed last minute. I'm so thankful that you were praying for me. And I was reminded to trust and obey, to just follow the Lord's leading, and that he would do the miraculous. It wasn't my job to do any miracles on that trip. God would show up and God would do what he would do in the people there. And it was awesome to work with people who were doing that. When life is draining the joy from you, remember that you are in God's hands. Remember that he is right with you every step you take, and that Jesus himself intimately knows the pain that you go through, because God came down and lived life among us so that he knows how you feel. He knows what hunger tastes like. He knows what disappointment and pain can be. And he's with you. He's with you every step you take. I think of the Israelites going to the promised land, right? That was a long journey, a very long journey from Abraham to Joshua finally going into the promised land. But there was an end in sight. They were able to keep that promise ahead. I think of our own promise of heaven, the hope that each of us has, the great hope and assurance that we are going to live for eternity with God in heaven. I think of pregnancy, not because I've experienced it firsthand, but because it takes a long time and it is seemingly very uncomfortable. But there's a promise at the end that keeps us going, right? I know this has been true for Steph. Obviously, the pain was very real in having these babies. Again, four of the grossest moments of my life. The staff knows I'm prone to getting a little queasy, so I'm just going to hold myself up for a second. But when that baby came out, all four of our kids, all the pain was gone from her. My color had not returned yet. That's a way to have joy. That is a way to have joy when life is hard. One time, and I wish Doug Heinsohn were here, my fellow Trinity Alps pioneer, me and a friend were hiking in the Trinity Alps, which is just south of us here going into California. And we camped at a place called Elk Lake, and then we decided the next morning we were going to summit Sawtooth Mountain. It was about a half mile to the top, and we climbed almost 2,000 feet. It took us like 3 hours to do that half a mile. Super challenging. At the end, it was about 25 feet of straight up actual rock climbing. I would never do that again. But at the time, I don't know. It was like, yeah, let's do this. We could have stayed at our campsite and put our feet in that glacier, ice cold water. We had fishing line. We could have been fishing all afternoon. All of those would have been great. But when we said, how is it going to be when we get to the top and we can look over that ridge to the other side? Won't that be amazing? And that kept us going the whole way. That kept us pushing and moving hard. Life can be disappointing. Life can be hard. Joy is essential, though, for us to keep moving. As soon as we lose joy, it becomes so much harder. Life can become a big, big challenge. Now, I do want to say, beware of celebration without a heart of celebration. I am not saying to you that the goal of joy and celebration is to act like you have joy or to put on the face that you are happy even when life is seemingly falling apart. Tragedy is just that. It's tragedy. Jesus himself wept at the death of Lazarus. He was not faking those tears. He was sad. It touched him. Although joy is important and we need it, there are times when you may not feel joyful. And that's okay. That's time to process with God. But just like the son who returned home to the father, when we're in those moments, let's not hide from God, but let's go to God, to his feet, and say, God, what is happening right now? I need to hear from you today. We don't want a fake celebration, but we want to be able to look to the end and know that God has us. At its best, that's what we want. That is the ideal, to know that God is with us and is working for us. Here I also have to mention depression. Being depressed, or let me extend that to say just being stuck in life, and you are just stuck in a place that you cannot get out of. Joy may be out of reach, seemingly. I talked to my wife about this, because when you talk about joy, depression's a real thing. And she is a licensed counselor, and I really wish that she was up here telling you this, because I'm sure I'm going to mess it up. But she did give me two steps. If you are stuck today, first recognize that you're stuck. It's easy to not see the elephant in the room. It's easy to not say, man, I have not been feeling myself lately, and actually call it for what it is. It's easy to just ignore and just let you slowly go down and down and down. Recognize that you need help. And two, pick an intervention. Maybe that intervention is going to be to get on medication. Maybe that intervention is going to be to get into God's word daily. Maybe that intervention is going to be talking to a friend and reaching out for help. But there is no reason to ever be stuck. And there is no reason to ever feel that joy is out of reach. Because everyone can take a step, which is my next point. We need to celebrate our steps. Some of you have big dreams. Maybe it's to buy a house. Maybe it's to lose weight. Maybe it's to get this job. Maybe it's to finally get all the laundry done. But you got big dreams. Some are ridiculous, like the laundry thing. You got to celebrate the steps. You got to say, praise God, I did a load of laundry today. Or praise God, I turned in an application. We want to wait until the end to say, all right, when I get that job, I'm going to celebrate. But you know what? Let's celebrate every step we take. Let's continue to celebrate. Let's continue to have joy for what God is doing. All right, the last thing I want to share about how we can have joy in a world that is painful, disappointing, and at times miserable is you need to spend time with other people. Now, I am an introvert, a pretty extreme introvert. That does not mean that I can't talk to people or interact. It just means it is way easier for me to talk to 200 of you at once than to talk to one of you one-on-one. That drains me a lot. This is easy because none of you are throwing questions back at me, which would be awesome if you just did, but it drains me to spend time with people, but man, do I need it. Every Thursday morning, it's 7 o'clock, 7 a.m., we meet in the chapel and we have prayer. It is fun every time we do it, and somebody's laughing always. It just happens when Christians get together, or at least I hope that's what happens. Maybe you have a home group. And when you get that home group together, it doesn't take much to smile. It doesn't take much to enjoy each other, right? Reach out with your family. Reach out personally. We need to spend more time with each other. Life is so much easier when we don't do it alone. Seriously. Life is so much easier when you don't do it alone. God made us to be the body of Christ together. And when we can come together as a group, God's presence is there. And joy is a natural byproduct. Except for those times when it's not. Because I have been in some rough meetings, but I digress. I want to invite the worship team to come back up. And we're going to wrap up today's service. I promised myself I was not going to speak for more than 30 minutes, and I'm already over. Kids, can we give it up for our kids? Yeah. I have my own personal rule that I try not to speak for longer than 5 minutes, because often there's no point in talking longer than 5 minutes. Just get to what you want to say. Summer camp, I may talk 15 minutes, but this was a stretch for them. They don't always hear me talk this long. Last, I want to end with this. When is it hard to be joyful? It is hard to be joyful when you're in pain and when you feel loss. It's hard to be joyful when you are rejected by others. It is very hard to feel joyful when you have rejected yourself. It's hard to feel joyful when you're overwhelmed and stressed. It's hard to feel joyful when your in-laws are in town. That's a joke, Lori. Thank you for being here this weekend. And it's hard to feel joyful when you've isolated yourself for too long. Maybe somebody offended you. Maybe somebody hurt you. You got to get back in community. You got to get back to a body of Christ. You got to be known, and you got to know other people. You and I need more joy in our lives. Joy keeps us going. Joy makes life worthwhile. Joy helps us get a piece of God's heart, a glimpse of who God is and what his kingdom will be like. We need joy. Psalm 16:11 says this: "You make known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." That sounds pretty good. God has good things in store for you. I want to pray for you, and then we're going to sing together. So just bow your heads. Lord, you know that there are hearts that are hurting today. There are people here who feel stuck, and they are waiting to hear from you. God, I pray you would speak to them today. Some of us, Lord, have just grinded for far too long, and we need the release of joy today in our lives. I pray you would give us that today. Lord, we know that you have made known to us the path of life, and that you fill us with joy in your presence. Bring your eternal pleasures, God, on us at your right hand. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being with us today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. All right, let's stand up and sing to the Lord.